tonight.
Just remain standing and read your scripture. If you turn to Revelation, the first chapter, we'll read the same scripture we read last Sunday. It's good to see Brother Ed Waters with us. Just appreciate him. Appreciate anyone that believes the word. While you're turning, for tonight only, now we'll have services at 5 o'clock tonight only. Now it's just this week. Of course, also remember next Sunday your time changes, so we go right along. You know, when it's 10, their new time, 10:15, we start at 10:15. We start at 6:30 new time, old time, whatever it is. We just keep our same regular 10:15 and 6:30 as they go with it. So don't forget next Sunday will be your time change. You remember that, but there won't be, we won't have the 6:30 tonight service because we're going to try to go deer hunting down in, be below Atlanta, and it'll take us a while to get down there. So we're going to try to leave out a little early tonight. It won't be so hard then having to drive in the morning and get up and try to hunt and everything. So we'll start, the Lord willing, tonight at 5 o'clock, and then, you know, maybe we can get through time enough to, that Wade and myself, Brother Collie, can get on down and hunt a little bit tomorrow. And, few days, but just remember that'll be just for this weekend only. Now, just for the 5 o'clock. But remember that if you see anybody you think would come, let them know. Again. Revelations 1, verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God." Of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. And remember how I was bringing that out last week? It's a blessing to read it. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, it's a blessing to hear it. But now here's the best part. And keep those things which are written therein. See, there's three blessings. And I like the last one, don't you? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We pray, Lord, that you would just give us understanding ears to hear, because we know that we're just mortal human beings and we need you, Lord. We need you to walk among us. Bless the people, the ones that have gathered here, Lord, this day, and just help each one. Bless your little bride around the world, that where she's gathered today, that she'll be in your loving grace. We believe your word and we stand on that. We ask you that you would just guide us. Forgive our sins. Come and take over the service now for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We've been quite a while getting up to where we are now. And, I wouldn't dare to try to review any of it, but we've been ever since 1979, as I told you last week, from 1979, when the Lord began revealing what the seals were to us, then we began preaching then. Back before then, there was a lot of things preached that they were true and correct and all like that. Didn't have to change anything because the Lord took care of that. But then when the seals broke, it began to show things that we hadn't seen before, and we come on down through the preaching and been going through them up until now, and finally got up to the seventh seal and began to speak on it some few services back. And we, in our last message, now what was our point of our last message? Just to try to review that a little bit, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. On the seventh seal book, you know, the book. Now, when I say book like that, I'll be referring to the seventh seal book. In other words, the book of the seals. When I say book, just remember that, and then I'll try to distinguish between it and Christ, the mystery of God revealed. But what did we find in our last message? Now, to review some of it, what did we find that the prophet done? We went through the seals. We studied them. We came through, taking step by step as he took. And we came up to the seventh seal. When we came to that, then we saw that Brother Branham said that he would, that the seventh seal was, when it opened to him, it was in a threefold manner. That's on page 557. He said it was on a threefold manner that the seventh seal broke. And he said, "I'll speak to you of a fold of it." All right, then when he spoke of a fold of it, he said it was those seven thunders
And we know that when he went on to preach
the message and the many quotations put together,
like page 327, 328, Church Age book, and all the different ones, 243, questions and answers book, about
two or three in there that where he was talking about
the thunders and what they were. He said that's
what the seals was about. And he told that the thunders were the revelations contained in the seven seals. He said that was what it was, what those seals was about. Those thunders was the voice of God that held those mysteries that hadn't been revealed down to that. See, the seals had done been broke to John on the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago. And you'll find him on Christ the Mystery of God Revealed saying that the seals broke and the ages come down. Well, you'll find him that way on the seal book. What I've been doing lately, if you've noticed it, I've been taking like where he'll refer to something in one message, and then I'll take it over into the seal book and show that he's still holding the same point. See, you study your seals, and you'll find him, he said, now that the seals broke and the ages come down. Well, see, that they broke 2,000 years ago to John in glory. A lot of people seem to think that the idea is that the seals wouldn't broke until they come over here to Brother Branham in the last days. Well, now, you don't have scripture for that. You don't have Brother Branham's word for it. That would be a presumption. But going the way that I believe that we've tried to approach it, we can keep it in the scriptures, that the Lamb took the book 2,000 years ago and broke the seals. And if people could ever really get it in their right mind to understand it, you'd see that Calvary was where the Lamb was taking the book.
When Jesus Christ died at Calvary and said, "It's finished," well, then that was your seventh seal. Your seventh seal is the end of all things, isn't it? And the sixth seal, what does the sixth seal reveal? Tribulation. What was happening to Jesus when he was hanging on the cross? Read your sixth seal and see if the prophet didn't refer right back to the time when God was delivering Israel out of Egypt. He talks about the plagues. It's like under the sixth seal. Then he brought Jesus to Calvary, and he took him to Calvary, and he said, there, seeing a foreshadow of it again. Then over in the last days, it's the tribulation period. Well, when the sixth seal had finished back there to Jesus, he was hanging on a cross, wasn't he? The world went into a great frustration. Earthquakes, and the sun refused to shine. Well, then when it did, Jesus cried out and said, "It's finished." Right now, if you added, what's the message today? If you add one word to the Bible, now I don't care if it would be a prophet or who it would be, if it could add one word to the Bible, then the Bible says he'd had the plagues written in the book. So Brother Branham's message couldn't add one word to the Bible. If it added one phrase, even as I said a few weeks ago, that if you took the period off at the end, you know, there in Revelation where it says amen and it's just got a period, if you took that off and just changed it to a comma, you'd be adding to the word. Amen. All right, then with that in mind, think about it, that when Jesus said it's finished, all right, there was the seventh seal, the end of all things, because he says it on 556, I believe it is 556 of the seal book, that the seventh seal is the end of all things. All right, then from that time on, if you added anything to that when Jesus said it's finished, then you would be an addition to the word. See, because when he cried out it's finished, that settled it there. It was done. And to say, if we could get our thoughts in the right channel instead of looking at a book and a lamb and things that the Bible is just in symbolic form to try to express those things to us, if we just look back to what happened at Calvary, you'd see Jesus Christ when he died on that cross. That's when he took the book. That's when he redeemed mankind. See, then we get into the great theological terminologies of our day and hour and try to search out things and find things, you know, to make it big and great big thing when it was the simplicity of Calvary. All right, that was the simplicity the prophet said was under those seals. He said it was so simple when he started off on the beginning of the message, you know, God in simplicity. He said, now, it's so simple till you'd miss it. Then when he got to the seventh seal, he said, you see why I started back there in simplicity? He said, see, here's still the same thing. But now, what was it on the seventh seal that we found? We found those seven thunders were the revelations contained in the seven seals. All right, then knowing that that right there, if it's the revelation contained in the seven seals, and the seven seals had this book sealed, then if you added, now what's where I'm putting this now, just like back there at Calvary, if you added one word after, now that was my main point last Sunday, if you caught it. If you added one word after the prophet said seven thunders was a revelation contained in the seven seals, if you add one word after then you've missed it. Just as you'd miss it back there at Calvary, after Jesus said it's finished, you know, man just kept on talking and running his chain and thoughts was going on. And you'll say, well, boy, I'll tell you what, I can show you in the Bible if there was a book of Acts. After Jesus said that, I can show you Paul talking to the Galatians and the Romans and Peter talking to this group and that talking. Did that add one word to what Jesus said? I thought Jesus preached six seals. Didn't the prophet say he did? In your seal book, didn't he say that Jesus preached six seals? And on the sixth seal, he took Matthew 24 and the seal book, you know, I mean the seals in Revelation 6, and he compared them coming down. All right, then if you add one word, any word, then your message is no longer pure. You've gone back just like it was, and your deeds of the Nicolaitans and the different things just took over. That's why I've always made my stand that irregardless of whether I understood it or whether it cost all of my friends and loved ones and all that, I'd still take my stand with what the prophet said. Because I'll have to face God with that. I have to preach the way I preach. We were in a meeting the other night, and I told a brother, I said, now, if I offend anybody in what I say or do, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. It's just the way I talk. But I said, behind this pulpit, then I'll speak what the Lord gives me, whoever it hurts or whatever it cuts. And then people will have to go home and think about that to see whether the Lord spoke or did just me. Now, if I spoke, you can get by with it.
Here's something to indicate what you said, brother. I really set up your stand yesterday.
This is all spiritual food in due season. He said, it turned out that it was made known that he cannot do that. It's something that's written in the book. It's something that's been hid in the book. For whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, so it is a mystery that's been in the book in these seven church ages. Each one of them produced a mystery all about water baptism, all the things that they fumbled about and so on. That's page 13, Spiritual Food in Due Season. There's also on that page you'll find that he said that he used to think it was outside the book, but said when it was revealed, it was in the book. All right, then the message has to be right. Our thoughts are not worth 2 cents. Now, I'll talk with you about your thoughts and listen to you and try to sincerely listen to what you're saying. But then I'll come back and say, but that don't fit the prophet's message. And that's where people get offended. I just speak that way. I say it don't fit the message. Well, to me, if it don't fit the message, then it ain't worth fooling with. On the front of my notes, and I'll get back to it at the end of it. The main point I want you to see today is that the second and the third fold of the seventh seal cannot be anything different from the first fold. Now, I know that across the land, a lot of people, and some that maybe would hear this, might think different. Well, you have a right to think your way, but I have to stay with what I believe. Then, they basically, most people think that the first fold of the seventh seal was those seven thunders. You know, Brother Brown tells that. Then they think that, well, the second fold and the third fold is two things the prophet didn't speak about. Have you ever heard them say those things? I have. And they think that somewhere right around the coming of the Lord, God's going to give that to somebody. And really what they're saying is God's going to give it to them. You know, the somebody is them. All right? Then they think that they're going to preach that. And it'll be something that'll take the bride off the earth. Listen. My point is, if you had one word, where would you get that word? By what authority would you bring that word? You would have to have an authority behind you. And it couldn't be calling down fire because the Antichrist can do that. It couldn't be great signs and wonders because he'll be able to do that, the Bible says. Well, then I can't go on that. See, the prophet was vindicated. Now watch my whole point. He was vindicated that God would use him to speak the word. But now that was not all the vindication. The vindication was the prophet with the word. All right, if I don't stay with the word, then I'm not promised to be vindicated no more. I don't care what kind of signs you produce. I don't care what kind of things you do. Listen, the church, she looks like in bad shape, yes. But you know what's wrong? It's because the people, the ministers, have not taught their congregations and prepared them for the hour that we're living. Then in that, then if they just look at the simplicity of the message. But now watch my point. Now the second fold and the third fold, if it adds one word to what the prophet said the first bowl was, it would be an addition to the Bible. That's right. The Antichrist. Because it would be anti-word. Now, let's just see if we can hold that point that close now. Because if we'll do it with what the prophet said, it'll hold that close. If we'll compare what he said, and that's what I told you that I was doing, I took the seven seals message, speaking from the seventh seal of it being the first bowl of it being those seven thunders. Now, have you ever noticed the prophet spoke 5 minutes about those seven thunders and an hour and a half about himself? Looks like it would have been more important to spend the time speaking about the seven thunders. But if you watch it today, you'll see that he knew something about... Now, watch the way I say it. When he preached this message, and I'm holding up a seal book, when he preached this message, it climaxed on the last night of the seven thunders, being the revelation contained in those seven seals. That's what he brought out. He did not know then the full mystery of the second fold. Now, I'm telling you what I believe, because he said that it went into something he didn't see. He didn't know on that night what the full mystery was of the second fold. He didn't know what the full mystery of the third fold was. Because you can read it right there out of the book. He said he did. He said it went into something else that I didn't see, and he said it ain't moved into that cycle yet. But when he come to the time of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, by that time the Lord had revealed unto him the second and the third fold. I've got a little message I want to preach one of these days because I told you that the Bible, when you see the seals rightly, it'll just unfold. And it'll be like the prophet said, the book becomes a brand new book. Up until Brother Branham, watch this, and I'll preach a message on it some of these days. Up until he preached the message called the rapture, Brother Branham was looking for the Lord to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and a trumpet. He even says in the seal book, I want to be glad when that great trumpet sounds out yonder and we'll be called up to meet the Lord. But when he preached the rapture message, see, the Bible just unfolded to him. He saw that he had already preached the shout, that it was his message to get the people together. See, he didn't know that previous to that. See how the book opened. This book didn't become a brand new book. I told you that even the token message, I already see them two, how they just become a brand new message to me. Not just something that I just read and studied and, you know, but it's become a brand new message. I'm interested, I told you, in preaching on faith. Now this is what I'm doing now, is trying to build your faith. If I can do, listen, my confidence is built, as I said a while ago, in the message. I've seen people that attack certain parts of the message. Then I would be maybe a little overzealous and offend those people by just trying to say, well, now, Brother Branham said so-and-so, and I believe what he said. All right, then I've offended people in that. And
See, they misunderstand me. My approach is, if you can tie down, now listen, I told a brother this the other day, if you can tie down one thing Brother Branham said, if you can tie it down now and disprove it by the Bible, one thing that he said, I'll get out of the message. Because there is no message. You understand me? If you can take the Bible and something and tie down what Brother Branham said, it is not the message we are to follow. But you can't do it. The prophet is right. And even his actions sometimes are not correct, but they'll be brought in line. They have to fit the word. A brother one time attacked the Church Age book in the minister's meeting one time that the Church Age book wasn't authentic. I said, listen, brother, Brother Branham read that, and I said, I've got the tape at home where that he made the personal conversation between him and Lee Vail, Brother Lee Vail, about the message of what to put in there. And they were talking back and forth. They sent a tape backwards and forth. Brother Branham would say, Brother Lee, you wanted to know about this. He said, here, put this like this, you know, and things in. And I said, brother, if you can tie down one thing, that was my approach then and still is. If you can tie down one thing, that's that old undermining spirit that undermines the message and destroys your confidence in the message. See, that's how you conquer the laity. You destroy their confidence in the message, and then they've got to have their confidence in you. I'm just truthful. I know Brother Ed don't mind me using his name. If he could destroy the message, if he could show me the messenger wrong, he'd be the fellow I'm supposed to follow. See, and that's what the destroying of the confidence in the message by the ministry is doing. They're destroying that confidence, and when they do, they're building their own selves up. Now, you can't do that. It won't work out. But now watch it. What's their point now? We went to Christ as a mystery of God revealed. We saw Brother Branham spoke on the seven seal book, the book of the seven seals. The first fold of that seventh seal was those seven thunders. Alright? Now we found that those seven thunders bring the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it was to bring. All right, if they bring the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now watch. When we went over to Christ as a mystery of God revealed, and we read from page 17 that this was what he was speaking of was the seventh seal mystery. And everybody knows the message, knows that page is where he's talking about. He said that's what he's speaking on that day. And that's why there was that those seven thunders and silence in heaven and things. That was what, this is the message he was going to do it on, because on page 34, 33 and 34 of this, he said, if you miss it, if you miss the seals, he said, come back to this message. Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said, cause here would be where you go. As I said the other day, you wouldn't go to Greer's Almanac. Right. If you miss it, you don't go even to Feast of the Trumpets or the Future Home or marriage and divorce or invisible you. He said, come back to this message of Christ the mystery of God revealed if you missed it and see it. Alright? Then in that we find that this Christ the mystery of God revealed was preached in the threefold. That's on page 22. It's preached in a threefold. And what did he tell us the first fold of it was? Now what's the first fold of the seventh seal? Here's in the seal book. Seven thunders. Which is the revelation of the entire Bible. Now let's see if that fits here. Let's just see if it fits in this message. If we do, then we know we're headed in the right direction. Then you'll see why I've said don't go to the third, second, and third fold and try to get something different. You're going to make an addition to the word if you ain't careful. But on page 22, he talks about it being a threefold mystery. Then he gets down to the bottom and tells us what that first fold of it is. The first thing God wanted to reveal himself to the people. Now, God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He said, as the great Jehovah, he was too great to be revealed that way. Now, the first fold of the seals was what? Revealing one true and living God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, now watch it here. Watch the first fold. To reveal himself to the people. Now, how did he reveal himself to the people? In Jesus Christ. See, that was the only way that could ever be done, was to reveal himself in Jesus Christ. So then the first fold of the seal in the seventh seal fits exactly the first fold of Christ's mystery God revealed. See, then you're not trying to add to it, you're letting him make his own statement. See, it's to reveal. It's in a threefold manner, but it's to reveal Jesus Christ as the one true and living God, or as we'd say, God in human flesh.
Because the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, you know. Great is the mystery of godliness. See? Then you know that there's not but just one true and living God. Now watch where we'd wind up. What if you was a Trinitarian? If you was a Trinitarian today, the Bible will not fit in no way to you. Because you come out with too many persons. You come out with an addition to the Bible. That's why it was so important to put that emphasis. Brother Branham preached over and over and over and over. His whole emphasis was on one true and living God. Because, as I showed you when we was preaching in the seal book, you know, when we started in 79, that here stood the Lamb, Brother Brown said, with a book in his hand, and out yonder goes another person. He said, then it's got to be the Antichrist. Now, what would a Trinitarian? A Trinitarian wouldn't make any difference with him if there's one person standing here, another person here, and another 14 riding out to yonder. Don't make any difference to him because he's Trinitarian anyway. But to one true and living God, you'll never see that first seal break until you see the Lamb standing here with the book in his hand. And out yonder goes the white horse rider as another person. Read how many times he refers to him and says, see that guy going yonder? See him going yonder? He's always trying to show you there's another person going out. And if there's another person going out, it's got to be the Antichrist because there ain't but one person of God. It's not God in three persons like we used to believe, you know. And see, it's not three gods. The seals never break to a Trinitarian because he could never see God in human flesh. Right. Now, when you come down to the seventh seal, what was I bringing out the other day to you about the difference in what we saw after the seals broke and before they broke? And I brought it down from Brother Branham on page 119 of the seal book. Now, watch. He said, I used to think... Now, Brother Branham never believed in a Trinitarian doctrine, did he? Did Brother Branham ever believe in a Trinitarian doctrine anywhere? Can you produce that he did? He said a prophet never believed in a Trinitarian doctrine. He said from a youth all the way down. See, he was a prophet and called one, brought down. He didn't believe in three gods or God in three persons. He said he went everywhere trying to find out. You know, he said he's taught them things, but he went everywhere trying to find it. He said he finally found out it was a word. But a prophet could never believe in it. All right, then watch now. What did I bring out? He said, I used to think Jesus loved me and God hated me. See, he didn't have the Godhead in himself in its correct order. He said, until we found out it's the self-same person. Now, listen. Where did he really find out the self-same person? What was the final climax to show the Godhead to the prophet in its correct order when he'd never believed in a Trinitarian doctrine? In 1963, when those seals broke, he saw the Godhead the way it was supposed to be. If you think he didn't, why was he calling the Holy Spirit that white horse rider before then? You remember? It's in the Church Age series. He said the white horse rider went out there. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. See, because the seal wasn't broke. That seal held something that that prophet didn't see. See, then you could say that Jesus loves you. And not be a Trinitarian. Not believe in God in three persons. You could say Jesus loved you, but God hated you. Because you'd be just doing away with this person one day. You know, this we'll call it like he said. You'd be doing away with this office one day. Because the Bible says that the sonship will terminate, that God may be all in all. See, the prophet was seeing something in dispensations that Jesus loved him in this dispensation, but right now, listen, right now, wouldn't God destroy us right now if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ? I'm talking about sinner and saint. I'm talking about all. The prophet said he'd destroy every one of us if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, then You could visualize in your mind, if you wasn't careful, that you had a God up here of hate covered by the blood here. He said, until I found out it was the self-same person. All right, then until the seal broke, the prophet was saying that white horse rider was the Holy Spirit. Find it in your church age series. It's in there. He taught the white horse rider as the Holy Spirit until the seal broke. But when the seal broke, he no longer said that. He saw then that Jesus didn't hate him. You see what I'm talking about? And that God, you know, Jesus loved him and God hated him. He didn't believe that no more. He said it's the self-same person. All right, then that's what I want you to see today. The second and third fold can't be an addition. It's got to be the self-same person in what's being done. It's got to be. Because if you don't, you'll fall off. Where would you be able to go? The prophet said on the seal book that was as far as God revealed it to him. But when he come to this message, he took it higher. He took it on up. Now watch. The seven thunders are the full revelation of the word. Then that would fit John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. See, then your scriptures would be right. Then, as we tried to cover last week, then all God was poured into Christ. Now, if there was one dab left, watch it now. If Jesus loved you and God hated you, that wouldn't be all God in Christ. And see, he said, that's what I used to think. He said, I used to think Jesus loved me and God hated me. All right, then if you had it that way, you couldn't have all God in Christ. And the Bible said, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, then in that point there, all God was poured into Christ if there was anything left over. You'd be an addition. You'd be adding to. Now think, if you tried to add anything to Jesus Christ, you'd have your word misplaced. He told us not to do that. John 1:1 wouldn't be right then. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then going down to 1:14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld as the only begotten of the Father. All right, then it wouldn't be all God in Christ. If you've got anything left over to go to the second fold with, like I said now a while ago, people think they're going to preach the second and the third fold. If you've got anything left over to go to the second fold with, then you don't have all in Christ. You don't have all in Jesus Christ. You have something left over. And he said the seven thunders were the mysteries. And that's the first fold, then all that fold was poured into Christ. Then if you got anything else, where are you going? Because there's nothing in there at all. It took a prophet to even know there was seven thunders left. And when he taught it, he said that it wasn't an addition to the Word. It was what was left off in the Word that we didn't understand. It wasn't revealed to us. See, if you got anything to go to a second fold with, then you've added to the Word. Be who it be, me, you, or anybody. If we add one word then, that was the last thought that I had last week, that you can't add one word to the Bible. You can't add one word to that first fold. You say, yeah, but if you can't add one word to it, how are you going to a second? Watch it and let's see if the prophet goes that away. Let's see if he holds it that close. I believe that statement. I'll make it again, and let's see if you believe it. I believe all God was, he poured into Christ. And I believe that to be that first fold of that revelation of that seventh seal was those seven thunders, which was the entire revelations of the entire Bible, showing Jesus Christ as that one true and living God. Now, that's the way I believe it. I don't believe there's one dab left over to go anywhere else. Because if it was, all God wasn't poured into Christ. See, then now watch. Those seven seals had the Word sealed up. The thunders was the voice of God to reveal that Word. Because you can't add to the Word. Now we found that the seven seals was what was in the Word that had not been revealed. We saw the seven thunders was the revelations contained in those seals. And we found that those seals are not an addition to the Word. See, the way most people approach it, they make it an addition. We found the prophet said it's what was in the Word, but had not been revealed unto us. Now, I've always tried to give an example to people where they can see what I'm talking about. There was a time you didn't know about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was sealed up to you in the Bible. Now, the Bible hasn't changed. It wasn't the day before you read that, reading one way, and then the next day it changed letters. The Bible always taught the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't revealed unto me until the day it was revealed. Then I could do something about it. See, then I went and was baptized. That was sealed up in the book. All right, the seven seals are sealed the same way. They were something that was sealed up in the book that had not previously been spoken on. Then a prophet comes along and gets that message and brings it unto us and finishes his message and then leaves the scene to get your eyes off of him and place it, see, back in the Word. All right. The seals are the complete revelation of one true and living God. Now let's just see if we can find this in Christ the mystery of God revealed. Because nothing can't be added to it. It's left then, and there's a statement in Christ the mystery of God revealed identical to this. I guess that's where it was laying in my subconscious when I wrote these notes. Because I know it wasn't my thought anyway. Brother Branham says in Christ the mystery of God revealed, he said it was left up to Jesus Christ to become God, to die for us. It wasn't a second person, a third person, or anything else. It was left up for that one person to become that all in all. If you remember, he explains one time like this. He said, how would it be for me to send my son down to do something like that? What kind of a person would it be if you were standing there and you had a child, Brother Collie there with children, and him standing there and he said, well, I gotta do something, you know, I'll just send my son down to die. And, well, what kind of a daddy would that be? He said, God didn't do that. He said, God came down himself. But it's left up, the prophet said to Jesus, to be all of it. To be everything. All right? We saw the first fold of Christ as a mystery of God revealed shows the same God in Christ that the seventh seal showed when it broke. Same identical God. See, not a different one. God in Christ. All right. Then the message the prophet said on page one of Christ as a mystery of God revealed, I read to you last week, he said this message capped all of his message off. That's why he could say, if you miss it in the seals, come back to this message. This message, he said, capped it all off. This is the cap message of the whole thing, because when it come down to this, he knew what those other two folds were and he told us what they were. So now as we begin to try to study it, let's just think about, what are those folds now? What's these other two folds of the seventh seal where he told us to go and see if we could find what we'd missed? He told us that it's got to be in the message. He said, come back to this message if you miss it. He said it was in a threefold manner. Now, what is the second and the third fold of the threefold manner that he now brings out on Christ the mystery of God revealed? When we read there a minute ago that the first fold was that God wanted to reveal himself, to express himself. He'd done that in Jesus Christ. That was his first fold of this threefold mystery. Page 23 of Christ the mystery of God revealed, he said, secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Now watch. Now he could do that in Adam and Eve. But sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. Now he wanted to live in people. He said he could do that in Adam and Eve. But sin separated. Now he's trying to get back to that. That's been my sole purpose for years now, is to try to get you to see something about God that God wants to live in you. He don't want to live in tabernacles. He don't want to dwell in buildings. He don't want to run up down the highway out here in cars. He wants to live in you. You are His tabernacle. See, that was His very purpose from the beginning. He had attributes. Read this message. He had attributes in Him. Page 16, 17. He had attributes that He wanted to be displayed. He couldn't do that unless He became a Father and a Savior, a healer. Then He displayed those attributes. Then that makes us part of it. We'll see tonight that we're very part of this mystery. We're a part of the mystery of God. But now if we don't hold that right, we'll make ourselves an addition, and then we got two people standing there, and God and me standing there like that. And when you do, then you've got an antichrist. You'll add to your word. What's the second fold? To have the preeminence in His body of believers. Now drop down to the bottom of the page and look. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene and everything else just going. When I see God's great purpose, revealing Himself and having first to reveal Himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people that He could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Now, think. What is the second fold now? We're familiar with these statements. Brother Brown said all God was, He poured into Christ. And all Christ was, where'd He pour it at? Into the bride of Christ. The true church. Alright, then, if all God was, He poured into Christ, now, where are we going now? Now we're taking up a thing called the church. And then you'll see that everything outside of the genuine bride of Christ is an addition to the Word. Because God could never pour all of Himself into a denomination. It can't be done. But it can be poured into individuals that are members of the bride of Christ. See, He can pour Himself into individuals, but He can't pour Himself into no church. You know, body like that. Because we're all out here in a church system. We're all called a church. But there's a difference in the church and the bride. Now, when I say church, I mean bride. Talking like that. You use the word church, that's bride. But now, the whole thing is out here, but there's got to be a bride. Now, watch what I'm talking about. If she's an addition to the Word, where would she be? Because you've done got it settled now. I hope you followed what I'm talking about from the seal book, the Christ the mystery of God revealed, and the Bible. You've got everything God was in Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got a church outside that, then you've got an antichrist church. If you've got a church outside in any other way or any other form, then what's the second fold of the threefold mystery? And you'll see why He spent an hour and a half talking about Himself, because He wasn't talking about Himself, He's talking about the bride. One man there to represent the bride. One man in the rapture back there, John, represents the bride. One man in Enoch represented the bride. Brother Branham, when he was standing there talking about those things that happened in his own ministry, he was talking about me and you because we get the benefits. He's talking about how that God done this for us in the end time. So me and you's there on that hour and a half he's talking about. Not just him, see. When you put it all in him, then you got deity. When you put all of God in Brother Branham, then you've got what they call deity. Now, if you'll put all that God was in the church, the bride, and Brother Branham as a member of that, then you got deity. If you'll make Brother Ed Waters just as much deity by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he has, that Brother Branham was deity, then you got deity in his right channel. But other than that, when you say, no, he's not, Brother Branham was all right, then you got deity calling Brother Branham all of God. And that won't work. He didn't say all God was he poured into Brother Branham. He said all God was he poured into the church. See, then the church is deity. Any member of the least little member here is deity. Because that's God living in people. That is the deity. It's not you being deity. But see, then puffed heads comes out of it and everybody wants to be deity. Then you know right then that Satan wants to exalt himself above. And you ought to know that's not right. Brother Branham may kept on saying things to him about it, even baptized people in his name and everything like that. He come out, he said, "This is thus saith the Lord," said, "I am not Jesus Christ." You know what they said? "Oh, he done that just throw you off." I believe him to be God. "He done that just throw you off. He's a lying false prophet. That's what he done. I'm truthful. I told you my life's at stake on this message." Brother Brown would be a lying false prophet if he told you something contrary to the word. I'm sure God ain't so upset with me saying it that way. I said, I just talk as plain as I can, then you don't have to worry about what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. At least you might not agree with him, but you know exactly what I'm saying. If Brother Branham told you that, and him doing it that way, he'd be a lying prophet. And he wouldn't be no part of this. But I don't believe it. I believe just what I told you. But now listen. Watch now, and you'll see that the bride is not. Wanted man in the Old Testament to understand him, and he talked about Moses, Joshua, David, Abraham. Because you know what that was? That was God. He was in them. All right, now as we approach this second fold, that's the way I'm approaching it. Then when you come to the New Testament, Paul sat down. And as I tried to explain something the other day to a man at work, Paul, there where he's saying the things that I would, I do not, and the things I do, I would not, you know, and it just sounded like a whole conglomeration. In the Baptist, they said that was Paul explaining his old life before he was born again. You might have heard that teaching. They said that's the way he taught. That's what was going on. No, he was talking about what was going on right then. He was talking about his life after he is born again. See? And the only way that we'll understand God, now I'm just truthful, take this Bible right here and read the book of Galatians and see how much it refers directly to, we'll say, God right there, now like that. It doesn't do it that way. It refers to God in the man. Because the whole Bible is written to try to get us to see God, and it's written about man. That God was living in. Paul couldn't tell you nothing but what was going on in his own life. You didn't hear Paul. You don't hear people in the Bible now like they do today. Boy, wasn't it great that God was living in Brother Branham. Now, God done that in him and all that. Spend the whole service. As I said the other Sunday, you can talk about Jesus dying on Calvary and etc. But you can talk about Brother Branham and his little girl and her dying in the hospital and just cry like everything. You can see what their God is. Don't get me wrong. I told you I cry too when I hear them things. But I also cry when I hear about Jesus and them nail prints in his hands. See, because there's where it's at. You can't tell somebody about a God unless you tell him about the God that's in your own life. A preacher can't preach nothing but what's in his own life. You preach anything outside of what's in your own life, then you don't know whether you're right or not. You say, "Oh, yes, I do. I know I'm right because I got Brother Brown." The Bible says no man can call Jesus a Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Then you'd only be speaking, and you know what you'd be saying it like? You'd be saying it like people say, "Where be the God of Elijah?" Everybody's saying it now, ain't he? "Oh, I wish we had the God Brother Branham had. I wish we was back to that time where Brother Branham was here. I wish we had his God." The Lord Jesus Christ is that God that he worshiped, and that's the God I'm trying to preach today. The same God lives today that lived in him. The same God. Listen, let me tell you something that maybe you'd never thought of in your life, but you better think on this one. Didn't Brother Branham say the seventh seal was spoke of in Genesis? Read your seal book. I'll give you a page number if you like. He said the seventh seal is spoke of from Genesis. I believe it's 536. He said it spoke of from Genesis. Do you know then that whatever climaxes in this bride in the end time to take her into rapture will be whatever scripture in the Bible spoke of? You follow me? Every scripture in the Bible would be speaking of the bride in the end time. Then Brother Branham's whole message would be speaking of the bride, not himself. He's speaking to me and you. The man that brought the message is speaking to me and you. He didn't speak of himself. Don't the Bible tell us that? The Bible says if you toot your own horn, what happens? If you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. Brother Brown never did exalt himself. But he exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now think. If we add one thing now in this second fold, then we'll miss it. So watch what this second fold is now. He says, secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers. That looks like it's something different, don't it? That looks like he's over here and then he's going to have preeminence in this group that's over here. Now watch what he says. That is his bride, that he might live in people. Now, that he might live in. Watch it now, just a few, and you read all of this. You read the whole book and see where I'm bringing that right or not. This is page 24. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Now watch. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body bride. Now read real careful what he says. First, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence. Now, that's the same thing he said a while ago. By this. By what? Now, watch what he's saying. He said, God in Christ. That's the first thing. Then he says, second, to have the preeminence by this. By what? By the first fold. He's going to have the preeminence in the bride. In his church. 25. Then if through the life of this son he has crossed the blood, it says here of his cross, that he might reconcile to himself a body, a bride. Now how is it done? By his blood, his cross. Second Eve, 27. I'm just giving you a few and then we'll stop. Watch what he says on page 27. Now notice again, now what's the threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Jesus, to come into the body by Jesus Christ, to have the preeminence to what? The last is to restore back Eve. Now just catch the way he said it there, same way he said it a while ago. What's the threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Jesus, to come into the body by Jesus Christ. So there ain't no second fold unless there's a first. There won't be no second fold of threefold ministry unless there's a first fold. And then you're seeing, I hope, that the second fold is not an addition, it's the first fold made manifest in us. Watch what he says. God become from God and become me. I'm right on the bottom of page 27. To take my sin upon him that he might make me him. Amen. Back to his great purpose of sons and daughters of God, for he is an eternal Father. And he talks about the attribute. Now my whole point, watch, and you should see it by what I read there. The second fold is not an addition. The second fold comes about because of the first fold. By this, he said, by Jesus Christ being all God was, he poured into Christ, then the second fold is not an addition. It's just all Christ poured into a church. The same person. Not another person there. See, you don't have the bride and Christ. My wife, even in the natural, she can write as many checks as I can. She can make as many debts as I can. But who's responsible for her? What she does reflects to my name, don't it? Because she took my name. She has no name of her own anymore. They're talking about maiden names. Fooey with all that. Maiden just means what she was before you married. Girl down in Gillsville got married here a while back, kept her maiden name. You know. Woman tell me she's going to keep her maiden name. I said, you just keep yourself at home. That's just the way I'd tell her. I'd say, you keep yourself at home then, because you're going to be maiden.
I'll just go find me another. You know, unless I'd done messed up and asked her to marry and she'd accepted me, then I'd just have to forget it. Because without the whole marriage and divorce, I don't want somebody on here tape, hear me say something and then go off and think I'm talking about something else. Listen. The bride is Jesus Christ made manifest. The second foal, Brother Branham says here, and he says on the sealed book that he saw it open into that, but he couldn't quite just get all of it, but he spent an hour and a half talking about himself. Now do you see the Bible? When God wanted man to see him, he spent an hour and a half talking about Ezekiel. When God wanted us to see the mystery of what the seventh seal was, he sent a prophet and he spent an hour and a half talking about himself. That's identically scriptural. As I said here a while back, a man can say it then in the right term, that's thus saith the Lord, the scriptures. See, we get all that I told you. We get it all in our mind. We think thus saith the Lord is supposed to be, Brother Tatum, don't go around this way because you'll run into a deer. That's not written in the Bible. But I can bring you thus saith the Lord from these scriptures right here. And it is thus saith the Lord. You want me to read it to you? Thus saith the Lord, the scripture says, by his stripes you're healed. Now what are you going to do with it? Brother Branham's message fits exactly the Bible. Even to him preaching about his own self. How many sermons will you ever put on that he don't talk about himself? Until people says that's the most exalted man that's ever been, you know, talking about himself. Said all he talks about is himself. That's all I can talk about. It's the God that's in me. I talk to you about the God that's in Brother Branham. I ain't done a bit of good. That's not personal. I don't know that. I'm just quoting that from memory. But when I see the same God living in me, doing in me what he done there, then I can associate myself with the Bible, and I can associate myself with the prophet's message. Because I see the same God living. So then the second foal is brought about by the first foal. What? All God was, he poured into Christ. Then all Christ he pours into church. Church is no longer herself. A woman no longer has her name. She don't even exist. My wife there couldn't go sign a check. Peggy Cash. Now, we're in a perverted age. You can go put the money in the bank that way, but do you think the bank would honor a check for her after we've been married 25 years? You think if she wrote a check, Peggy Cash, that they'd honor it in anybody? Any bank? No, because she ain't got no money there. She don't exist. When a woman marries a man, she no longer exists. Her name is gone. Everything gone. She's his. That's scripturally. She then is his because him and her become one. But this is even more one than that is. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about that the first foal. Now, Brother Branham told us what it was. He said the first foal is Jesus Christ. All God was, he poured into Christ. Then he says the second foal is all Christ pouring into a church. The preeminence in that church. Now, if you ain't careful, you got an addition there. I can't approach it no other way but the fact of seeing that that church is Jesus Christ made manifest. Just as Jesus was God made manifest in human flesh, and how did Brother Branham say that when he was talking about Jesus? He said, talking about how that God came down and went in him. That's how he sent him. As a father has sent me, so send I you. He said, how did he do that? He said, he came down and went in him. Then that wasn't this say, well, what? That wasn't Jesus going. That was God going, wasn't it? All right, then the church comes down. The church is God in flesh going. If you ain't careful, you're going to have a dotty old granddaddy. Watch it now. Are you a son of Jesus or are you a son of God? If you're a son of Jesus, which was a son of God, didn't make you a grandchild. But by Jesus Christ coming to give his life, then that great God that was in him could come back and live in you and make you a son and daughter of God. Not a son and daughter of Jesus. Brother Brown said Jesus didn't give us an inheritance. He said he come to bring us back to it. See, he had to have a sacrifice. He said the inheritance was eternal life from the Father before the foundation of the world. All right, then we're sons and daughters of God today, not sons and daughters of Jesus. See, you're going to make God mess his scriptures up. But the message shows that the second fold is what? It's all done by Jesus Christ. And that's my main point. I want us to see that it is not a second fold being something different from the first fold. The third fold is not something different from the first fold. The third fold is take you back to the Garden of Eden. That's done by what? The first fold. The first fold made manifest is the second fold. The second fold made manifest will be the third. Then, Brother Branham, when he come to hear, watch now. When he come to hear, he said this seventh seal is the end of all things. 556. Then if it was the end of it, you don't add a church to it. You do, you got a denomination now. What makes a denomination be a prostitute? They claim to be married to Jesus Christ. They make their claim that they're married to Jesus Christ. But he's done divorced them. And all of us in modern terms know, I can divorce my wife. And we're talking about modern terminologies now of the land. I could divorce my wife and go marry again. She can't go marry until she gets a divorce. She's still married to me. We're talking about natural terminology, the court law. Man, not talking about Bibles or anything else. We're talking about court law. I can divorce her and go marry again. If she divorced, she's got to get a divorce before she can marry. She's still tied to me. Every denomination there is still tied to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's done divorced them. You remember in the Bible where it says seven women to come take a hold of his coattail and say, let us have your name to take away our reproach. You think there's a denomination out there under the sun that wants to deny Jesus Christ being their husband? Why? Because they want to take away their reproach. Then they can have bastard-born children of all kinds. In the natural, why would a woman want to have a name that would be mirrors? Because that way she can have all children she wants to, and then when she marries another man, she don't have to worry about her virginity. I'm just talking natural. Because see, she don't have to worry about it. She's already been married. She's got a married name. To take away the reproach. The church today, if you try to make yourself some kind of a second fold, separate from that first fold being Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you're a prostitute to the word. And Brother Branham said one word, taken wrong, is spiritual fornication. One word, he said, taken wrong. One word perverted is spiritual fornication. Then we've got to be, the second fold is just a manifestation of the first fold. It's not an addition to it. Maybe I don't know how to use my words. I keep saying it over and over where you'll make sure to get it. The second fold is not an addition. You are part. Now tonight we'll get to it. Brother Branham says on Christ the mystery of God revealed that you are part of the mystery. You ever heard Brother Brown talk like this? He said, I was back there with George Washington when he crossed the Delaware. He said, I was with the boys on Iwo Jima when they raised the flag. He said, I was in Jesus Christ when he walked the shores of Galilee. Now, we know Brother Brown's physical flesh wasn't there, was it? He's not talking about this being out here. He's talking about the eternal life that dwells in his heart. The eternal life I have in me today walked the shores of Galilee one day. Because he was all God. If he was all a God and I'm a son of God, then I was in Jesus Christ when he walked the shores of Galilee. I was there with him. I crossed the Delaware with George Washington because I'm associated as an American. But listen, church. The second fold of the threefold is not an addition. That's why when he come to this message of Christ the mystery of God revealed after preaching it on this night and saying that he didn't see the other, when he come to this, he could tell us what it was because the mystery was in the Bible. Didn't he turn right? Now watch. When he said those two folds here couldn't be brought out, talking about in the seal book, He went right back and he said, we'll find it right here in the Scriptures. And he read the Scriptures about the mystery of God. See, everything then, if he'd have went, if Brother Branham come back now and preached a second or a third fold, and made it a second, we'll make like illustration, I'll make the first fold all God was in Christ, and the second fold, he'll make that speaking squirrels into existence. And you say, boy, bless God, when you see what I see, Brother Ed, you can speak squirrels into existence. I'd say false prophet. But when he brought her down right there in the Scriptures, then she fits every Scripture in the Bible. Brother Brown's message is perfect with the Scripture. To where that you can't pick at it nor anything in the world. You might not understand it. I've searched a long time for a lot of things that the prophet said before I ever found it in the Scriptures, but he's never failed me yet when I started searching for one. He's never failed me yet to show it to me, even to the Scripture that I read today. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all the revelation there is. The church is not another revelation. The church is more of that revelation made manifest into a many-membered body. You see what I'm talking about now? You see what the second fold is? The first fold, all God was reporting in Christ. Second fold, all Christ in the church. Now, watch this little statement and we'll close. All God was, now, first fold, poured into Christ. Seven thunders. Those seven thunders are the revelation contained in the seven seals. Now, all Christ. Poured into the church. What would that be? That would be the same revelation of seven thunders that was speaking of him poured into her. You see it? All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ into the church. All right? Seven thunders speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ that Jesus didn't previously... Now watch now. Jesus didn't previously know those things. You remember the other week it was brained out on page 14 of the Church Age book. Brother Brown said Jesus didn't know his part in the kingdom when he was here. You know, they asked him, said, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Or in Acts 8, Acts 1 and 8, said, will you restore now the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know. See, he didn't know. He didn't know his part in the kingdom, the prophet said. But he said, after his death, burial, and resurrection, and his time of appearing to John on the Isle of Patmos, he had the full revelation. Then it started off with what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Gave it to who? Jesus. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And what? And he sent, didn't say he come down himself and done it this way, in a form like a flesh. Said he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. John fell down one day and worshipped that feller. John fell down one day and worshipped that angel that brought that. And that angel picked him up. Said, don't do that. Right. See, it was an angelic form of Jesus Christ. But Brother Branham said the book of Revelation was the only book in the Bible where Jesus personally appearing to a scribe to write it. You know what people said that was? They said that angel was Brother Branham. No, that angel was an angelic being that was standing there that could take on a form of flesh, and John fell down to worship it one day, and it said, don't do that. I'm of your fellow servants. I'm an angel. I'm a being. Worship God. Jesus, one time when they'd reach and get a hold of him, try to worship him, he'd say, don't worship me, worship God. Next time they'd reach and get a hold of his feet, worship him, he'd receive it. Because he knew what was in their heart. He knew one time he's talking to God, he knew the other time he's talking to his flesh. But listen, church, that second fold of the threefold mystery is not an addition to the Bible. It is Jesus Christ made manifest in a church. And Brother Branham, I read you two or three times there where he says, by Jesus Christ, there's preeminence in a church. The church then can be Christ made manifest. Then tonight you'll see, Brother Brown says, we are part of the mystery. And then you'll see what Brother Moat spoke of years ago may become a little clearer, where he spoke of the message on God expanding himself. See, maybe we'll see some things come clearer to us as we just keep going through the message. Because it's always been God's purpose was to live in people. But don't make that people, now listen, if I have to repeat it again, I will. Don't make that people something separate from him. I gave illustrations. If my wife made herself something separate from me, she wouldn't be my wife. If my wife today went out and run around with somebody else, she'd be physically in natural man's eyesight, but spiritually, would she be my wife? She'd be a fornicator. But just talking, would she actually be my wife? No, she'd be something. She had separated herself. That's what everybody's always done. And I'm afraid in the end time you'll see the people of this message do it. Now watch, I'm going to be honest and just speak plain now. If I believed in a two-soul message, seven thunder virtue message, and things like that, I'd check it real careful. Because they can't line it up with Brother Brown's message. If you can't line up what you're talking about with Brother Brown's message, I'm just naming them two because that's the main two that everybody knows. If you can't line up what you see in Brother Brown's message, then you better leave it alone. Because Satan can come on along and undermine you at any time. And tire you to pieces. George, would you come? But the second fold, the first fold is all God was, he poured in Christ. The second fold is not an addition to that. It's that made manifest in us by Jesus Christ being God. Now we are Christ made manifest. And the church can come then to the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right. Let's see, it's on about page 23 and 25 of the unveiling of God, or the mighty God unveiled before us, and it's on Christ the mystery of God revealed, where the church got to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, the only way she can be the fullness of the Godhead bodily is to be it just like Jesus was. Now, that's the way I see the Scripture. If I'm wrong, then you come to him and talk to him about it. Anybody hear this on tape? I see Jesus and the church has to be the self-same person. I see we have to be just like Jesus was. If all God was poured into Christ, then there wasn't anything left over of God. There wasn't no second fold or nothing to be done there. It was all there. Then when you put all of Christ into the church is God made manifest. You got all of it here together, then you got the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It takes all of us to do that, where once it was just one. But listen, church, that Jesus Christ is wanting to live among us. He wants to be in our hearts and our lives. And as I read the scripture, I like that. Blessed is he that readeth. That's a blessing. Blessed is he that heareth. That's another blessing. Brother Brown said one time, he said, you're blessed just to hunger and thirst, because the scripture said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, you're blessed just to hunger. He said, there's a lot of people that don't hunger.
That's true.
But I like the last part. Blessed is he that keepeth. In other words, lives. Walks and lives.
Yes.
And lets it live through them.
Amen.
The word of Jesus Christ. The one true and living God. Oh, church, it's right there. See, I'd like to stay now for about 2 hours. And you'd think. You'd say, well, 2 hours of preaching. 262, let's stand. I told you I've been preaching since 79 on the seals, so it wouldn't be too hard for me to preach 2 more hours, would it? Because the Word is alive. I sat down in the woods yesterday thinking, Lord, I just hope people can see what I'm talking about. I hope they can see that we're not an addition to you, Lord. We're just you made manifest. I've lost friends and loved ones because of my stand in the Word. People that I cherish dearly. But I just believe the way I believe. I can't be nothing else. Let's sing this together. If you have a need, the altar's open. God's gonna call the roll some morning. Just just after that great trumpet sound. He's gonna take all that's ready up to heaven where peace and love abound. Think about it now, church. At the roll call, will you answer to your name? At the roll call, will you be glad that Jesus came? Will you say, Master, here am I. I'm so glad you bled and died, that you hung upon a tree to ransom souls like me. At the roll call, I would love to clasp your hand. At the roll call, there before God's viewing stand. You know, we don't pride ourselves around here a lot in being able to sing, so we don't pretend to, and we don't worry about it. But when it comes to this song, I sing a lot of songs funny. And I do it for a purpose sometimes. Really, one of them is I can't sing. I don't know how to. I wouldn't know what one of them notes meant or where to stop or start. But on a song like this, I'll sing a part and then stop. Maybe that ain't right. That might not even be the way the song's written. And I'll wait for her to play a little bit because I want you to think about what's said. See, that's why I do it that way. So you to think about what's said. Give you a chance to think about what's being said in the song that you're singing. I don't know nothing about music, but I know a little bit about God. And He wants us to think. He said, think on these things. Let's sing this again when we get down to the last, then turn and shake hands with one another. God's gonna call the roll some morning. Will you be ready? Just after that great trumpet sound. He done heard the trumpet. He's gonna take all that's ready up to heaven where peace and love abound. Just shake hands with one another in fellowship. At the roll call, will you answer to your name? At the roll call, will you be glad that Jesus came? Will you say, Master, here am I. I'm so glad you bled and died, that you hung upon the tree to ransom souls like me. At the roll call, I would love to clasp your hand. At the roll call, there before God's viewing stand. Amen. Appreciate each one of you being out. It's good to see Brother Ed Waters back with us. Just remember now, tonight services will be at 5:00 for this Sunday night only. And that'll give us a chance to have a little extra time. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Brother Waters, would you dismiss us?
Anything outside of that, Lord, is perverted, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're going to be a bride without spot.
Yes, Lord.
Without a wrinkle, Lord, without blemish, dear Heavenly Father. We're born bride, dear Lord. We believe, Lord, that you're going to manifest, Lord, you are manifesting daily to be a word in our lives,
dear. Yes, Lord.
Not only be hearers of the word, Lord, but also, dear Heavenly Father, doing something, Father, that Brother preached this morning. Christ manifested his bride in this house.
Yes,
we're so thankful, Lord.
find that we are what we need you are.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, we are so thankful that we have a diet that's been left us, Lord. Lord, left us there by the throat, dear Heavenly Father, sustain us in this hour.
Yes, Lord.
When the world's not hungry, Lord. But Lord Jesus, we're so thankful there are some that are hungry, Lord. Not after the names of the world, but after your word.
Christ. Yes.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.